Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. Hello, everybody. Gene Albertson here, helping and thinking. Glad you joined me every Sunday at noon. I'll talk about what's on my mind, but what I really want to talk about is what's on your mind, too, eventually here. I hope to get some people involved in this. It's actually quite a day today. Got a lot going on. A lot of changes in my life, too. Happening. At one point, I thought I had pretty much retired, but you know, the need for getting more money has come to me. So I'm doing things I've never done. Well, actually, doing a lot of things I've never done before, but also for money. I've recently taken a job working in a produce department, and I love the fact that I'm working around all the great colors and the high vibration food. Are great. It's a fun job. Definitely enjoy it. I've done so many things. I can't even describe to you how fun they've all been. The ones that weren't very fun, I didn't do anymore. I will say that. But welcome. I'm glad everybody showed up today. I hope that if there's anybody that has listened to me more than once, gosh, that means I have a following. That would be kind of nice. I know I'm able to look and see, you know, the number of listeners who tune in, but I don't always know, you know, who they are. I don't know who they are unless I speak with them. So anyway, well, for myself, last week we talked about self-love, and that's pretty much, to me, I think that's like the focal point that anybody looking to better themselves in any way, shape, or form can look and just see what you're doing with yourself, how you're treating yourself. You know, why are you treating yourself that way? Is that how you want to keep doing it? Because however you treat yourself is how other people will treat you. And I think that brings us, and I've learned that, and I think that brings us to what I wanted to talk about today. It's about expectations, I think is what it leads to. You know, it's something I've talked about a lot, and I've really, really struggled to understand in my life, because I think we all have certain expectations that we either consciously or subconsciously hold at any point in time. In my life's journey, it's been a huge one, because for me, it turns out I didn't really exactly what was going on. I just thought everything was crazy and nutty my whole life. I didn't realize that I was here to do this spiritual journey, and everything I've done along the way is clearly, I look back and clearly prepared me for this. And it's about discovering this, these expectations. I've struggled with expectations my entire life. And I think it boils down to the very bottom line being what do you believe is going to happen? What do you believe is happening now? what you believe just happened. What do you expect to happen? Why? Why do you expect that to happen? Well, they said it would. Well, who? Who's they? I've felt like they told me this most of my life. In my mind, I've said it a lot. I've heard people say it. Other people thought this in their mind a lot as well, too. The idea is it's expectations. Who expects you to do this? Who expects you to do that? Excuse me there, folks. But the thing is, you got to decide, you're going to have expectations because I believe it's a human trait. And as humans, we're going to have it. But how to deal with them. And to me, it's about who sets them. Who sets your expectations for you? I've struggled with that a lot. I was one of the folks that mainly because of my upbringing where I was at the earliest age, I delved right into the political nature of my heritage. I was born right near Mount Rushmore, and my father used to give tours every summer there, and I used to ride along. So I was indoctrinated into that particular state of consciousness early. In fourth grade, my very first book report ever was a report on Mount Rushmore and the history of it. And as I moved through life, I maintained that. I went through and I've studied the Constitution and the history of humans and American history at length, trying to figure out exactly what happened, these expectations that I've had, that I've lived with. And they failed miserably most of the way through life because I didn't understand what they were. They were expectations I had that were beyond my control. All of them. Mind-blowing to realize that, of course, everything is inside of us. That was a mind-blowing but enlightening understanding I came to. But I think having the expectations that when you get up in the morning and you're going to go do this, that something's going to happen automatically. Like, let's say, speaking of morning and getting up, brush your teeth every day. Let's say you brush your teeth every day, and by golly, your teeth are going to last your whole life, is the expectation. You know, and it may happen, may not. There are all kinds of other factors involved too, of course. One of the things I've always thought is I've expected people to be honest with me and straightforward with me in my life. And I'm not going to pretend that I've always been honest and straightforward in every single interaction I've ever had. No, I've always tried. And over the last probably 10 years, I've really come to understand what it's all about is pure honest with yourself. So you know what to expect from yourself. Because once you know what to expect from yourself, guess what? You can then know where you fit with other people. And you can say, okay, clearly stated expectation. Okay, this is where I am. This is what I am. And if you and I are going to do this, then, you know, this is what I need. This is what I expect. And then the other side says the same thing back. And if your I guess, expectation meet and mesh, then it works. You have something to go forward on. If they don't, then, you know, you got to decide, well, maybe that's not the opportunity. And I'm talking about any level of relationship, personal relationship, be it a romantic thing, be it a business thing, just a personal thing. You know, I mean, I walk around in the public and I expect people to be at least polite enough to not give me grief. You know, that's a pretty fair expectation. And then I will try to do the same back, of course. Of course, I like to over the top. I like to just subtly throw out all kinds of light and positive stuff and smiles and compliments and things that it's just so easy to do, and it just, like, lights the place up. There's no tomorrow. And it's usually something they don't expect, you know? sometimes it is that people have seen me around, because that's what I like to do. I mean, I've learned how to do it and I like to do it. I believe it's part of my destiny. And I believe I'm destined also to learn how to deal better with expectations, but I'm good. I'm good with it now. It's really something I've actually had people say to me, well, who is they? Well, they always said I couldn't do this, or they always said I shouldn't do that. And, you know, who is they? We all have our own they. Now, in my case, when I say they, it really kind of depends on where it's coming from. Since my entire life has been a spiritual journey, then I'm going to say that probably they have been everything from in the church. I grew up in a Christian church, a little Christian. And while personally I've had a spiritual connection to the little light of mine that's inside of me that Jesus showed me when I was 4 years old, I have not been like, I went to church a lot. In fact, I took myself to a young teenager, 13 or 14, to get myself confirmed. I wanted to learn about this stuff, trying to figure out what the hell happened, because that's another story. Actually, you can read about it in one of the Be Unique article about it. I wrote an article about that experience, Be Unique Magazine. Definitely worth a read, whether you read my stuff or not. Check it out. Good stuff. And my expectations in that regard were dashed. And so when I say they, I'm talking about everybody I've ever had an interaction with in my life. For instance, my kindergarten teacher who explained to me the concept of lying quietly, whether I was tired or not, for a period of time when I went to school first. You know, that was, she was a they. Stuff I learned when I went to the, oh, what was it? Oh, that if I, this, I had a priest tell me one time, if I said X number of these prayers, that this would happen. If I said this many of these prayers, this would happen. You know, and I always thought, wow, that's really not exactly how it works. But that was kind of the extreme in what I was trying to figure out, why this, you know, the separation between spirituality and religion. That's basically what it was about. So I spent my entire life doing this. I actually went to school for a decade studying people in Western civilization and anthropology and religion and sociology and humans, trying to figure out what we did ourselves here. You know, because I watched it with the 90s college, and no, I started college in the late 80s, but it was the late 90s by the time I watched our society just racing toward this cliff, and watching at our history and understanding and seeing, oh my God, what's going on? There's nowhere to go, because I hadn't had that spiritual reconnection. I was lost. I had probably what would be considered like the classic nervous breakdown, whatever. I thought, well, that's it. Can't do this. We've got our constitution, which clearly gives us the tools to belong and work and make a better society for everyone with equal rights. But we've completely ignored the companion document, the Declaration of Independence, which kind of illustrates the need for us as a people to say, okay, I know I could, but is it the right thing to do? You know, and that's a whole other program. I've dissected that in my mind, the thoughts philosophically and historically on how it all happened. Cause that was my, let's figure out what happened, what the hell happened, you know, watching us running our societies on fear campaigns, electing our people out of fear, you know, it's like, And then, you know, we all saw what happened. It was just a mess. And now here we are starting and building from scratch. And I'm so excited. And if I didn't have my spiritual connection and understand that this is all meant to be, this is how it's supposed to happen, I'd be running around freaking out, as well as a lot of folks are doing. So it's about expectations. You know, if it goes back again, I think we talked about taking the word should out of your vocabulary. That's what I did, and it was about expectations. Well, somebody should do that. Well, they shouldn't do that. Well, I should do this. Well, that shouldn't be that way. Well, that should be this way, you know, and that's, it's expectations, you know, and judgment. You know, it's a personal, what do I say? It's a personal journey. The only way it can ever be under your control is by you. Does that make sense? It's like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't pass laws to make them drink. But if that makes sense, you can't, the expectations you build have to be ones that you are for you. And if they're expectations of others, you have to set them with the others. And then they have to agree, you know, or it's not a reciprocal expectation. I hope that makes sense. I think our expectations are often fueled by beliefs. Now, I believe, see what I did there? I think beliefs are important. They're paradigms that we have that basically get our bearings in our world, or keep our bearings in our world, if you will. But oftentimes what I see is people, myself included, I'm better at it than I was, a lot better at it than I was. I am at to the point where I can recognize it if I catch myself doing it. But yeah, expectations are when I first started realizing, I thought, well, maybe they're the root of all difficulties, you know. There's certainly a contributor to difficult communications. That's for sure. All right. Now, talking about expectations, where did I get mine about they? Now, I think the biggest thing is that whenever your expectations come, you have to decide what they are. Expectations are, I think, are unavoidable as a human. I think we deserve some expectations where two people state them, and that's where we get business contracts and that sort of thing. So I'm working through all this, but I think I understand more that the expectations are a block to self-love. They're a tool. You can set them for your better good, but for you have to love yourself and to know that if those expectations are not met, it's likely you didn't really communicate them as well, most likely. It's possible that other people let you down, but it doesn't matter. It's just about learning and accepting and then moving on. Now, this has been something I've dealt with through my entire journey as far as the moving on part based on expectations. I remember when I first went to therapy, I went to my counselor and she said, well, what are you here for? And I said, well, to learn how to relate to people, because it's something I never really learned to do very well. And she gave me some great advice, some great tools that I've carried with me and have helped a lot. You know, I can relate to people a lot better. That's been about 10 years ago. And I certainly can relate to people a lot better than I could before then. on a personal level. Now, I'll tell you this, the expectations that I have were set in my life were very clear, my overt expectations, how I was supposed to act, the things I was supposed to do. I was pretty much on point for most of that. I simply, my overt expectations were not always in line with personal expectations of myself. And I think that's the battle that have fought, and I'm winning because I understand how it works for me so much more. Definitely. Now, one of the things that I've always said is, if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. And I believe that. And of course, it's fun to have a challenge, but people have come up with stuff I haven't been able to come back with. But my friend Mary had one real fast that funeral. It was a good story. But the idea is, if you're not having fun, okay, why? I expect to have fun. And I expect good things to happen, and it just does. I've had people ask me, you know, why you nothing seems to bother you. Well, it does for a little bit. But, you know, if I let it bother me too long, then I'll miss out on all those other stuff I could put my attention on. And this is where my current journey right now is bringing me to the understanding of how to love someone from afar. Because I believe that I have love for anybody and everything. I have no ill feelings toward anybody, you know, and I've had to, over the last year, really like cords with relationships and such. And that was where this relating to people, 20 years ago, I couldn't have done it. Even 10 years ago, I couldn't have done it. But after my understandings that I started to develop with that counselor in just a few sessions, half a dozen or so, maybe, I can't remember. But it's all just kind of coming around to where I'm understanding that I do have expectations of myself, but I have to be kind to myself. I think about my A syndrome in college. Oh my goodness. I couldn't believe I actually got a C in my major in graduate school. And, you know, even though my wife at the time was having medical things go on, she was in the emergency room. My second child had just been born, and it was a mess. And I got a C. But I totally deserved it, you know. But I was hard on myself. You know, I think about, gosh, well, all I needed was a C and a couple of D's, and I could have passed and gotten the same thing as the paper. But I could never have gotten the knowledge had I not worked and done the work. You know, and that's kind of how I've always been, is I know how to do it once I decide what it is to do. And thank goodness I've done that, because I can start over anytime, anywhere, anytime, anywhere. Ever since I learned how to be happy, anytime, anywhere. Pretty awesome. I expect to be happy, you know, and that's an expectation I can, because if I count on just me, that's all it takes. And I do. One of the things I expect of myself, better microphone setup. My studio is rather rudimentary at this point, but I am working toward coming up with something better. I had initially planned to do a studio in a vehicle and do this and some other things across, you know, as I travel. But my plan is changing, and it actually looks like I might be doing something a little different. This studio I'd be thinking about is building a little studio that we can use for anybody, any of the Be Unique Radio people that want to go in and use it. You know, in fact, Be Unique could even use it for income for people that want to pay studio time. So let's need income too. They got expenses. So anyway, that's the expectations I have, and it's so freeing And I've never been so free since I was, 20 years old, getting out of the Navy. They put me back in Rapid City, South Dakota with nothing going on, and there I was. I ended up in Denver a few months later, where that's where the action was, I guess. Young men need action, I guess. I don't know. Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, if anybody would like to call and visit about any of this, that's really the point I'm doing this. I'd like to hear what your thoughts are. You can call here at 516-418-51. You can also reach out to me. I had a couple of folks reach out to me last week. Thank you. I really appreciated your reply. And you can reach me at helpandthinking@gmail.com or at yahoo.com. Actually, it doesn't really matter. I'm helping and thinking all over the place. And as a commercial for myself, I will say that my business is Helping and Thinking. I do charge by the job, usually for the thinking jobs, and by the hour for the helping jobs. I can help you weed your garden, plant flowers. I can help you write grants or research a research paper. I can help you do, you know, all kind of stuff. That's one of the things I've learned in my life is that I've learned how to do so many things. I just blow my mind sometimes, you know. I crack myself up all the time, too, about it. But it's just, I used to think I was, the idea of, I think a few weeks ago we talked about the bee, the fly, and the glass bottle. And that was me. I kept trying and kept trying. And I thought that since I didn't stay at a job for 30 or 40 years and retire, with a retirement, that was not my thing. I knew that early on. And I kind of always felt like I was a failure because I never developed these things at my society that they said I wanted to develop because I really had no interest in it. You know, I realized early on, especially as healthcare fences raced out of control, I realized early on it was a self-perpetuating extortion scheme by wealthy, period. And I actually got healthy when I quit going to doctors and taking shots. I haven't been to the doctor and haven't been healthier since. Nature has every single thing we need as long as we get out and let it, you know, and quit doing crap to our bodies that's bad. You know, I knew somebody that was, oh my goodness, there's a 350-pound dude that would eat 20 pieces of hot spice, deep chicken wings, drink a 12-pack of beer, maybe a half a pint of Jack Daniels, maybe a pint, go home for dinner. Tell you what, that was for about, probably 20 years I did like that. You know, and I was raised, man, I was not going somewhere, I was late doing something. I was late getting started, you know, and it's pretty wild how things change, but as I've gotten to understand healthcare, I have to do my own healthcare. Everything that I'm getting treated for was stuff that was being caused by crap I was doing to myself. I was type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure. What else did they have? It was on and on. And so when I decided to, that was not going to be what I was going to do, I decided to lose weight. In about 2 years, I lost 130 pounds. And of course it changed my life, but it was about the expectation that I wasn't able to, my own expectations I wasn't able to meet. And so I expected myself to be able to take care of it. That's, you know, that's really the where I started thinking about should in my vocabulary. The first time I remember was smoking. Is I figured out how to do it, how to quit, because I smoked 20 years, and it was a process. And then with my weight, I used that process, and I figured out that it was the way I was setting my expectations, how to change things. I didn't want to be that way. I was able to do it. And then since then, I've been able to apply it to my life again and again and again and again and again. And I'm certainly not saying that I've reached any sort of acme or perfection or any sort of shining example. I'm just saying that I know this is true. I know it's true. When I have aches and pains, instead of taking the 1,600 milligrams of ibuprofen a day that was prescribed to me, if I go stand outside, be outside barefooted for 15 to 30 minutes, all the inflammation just evaporates. It's insane what we've done to ourselves, and this is what I've learned about me. And so I just really expect the best for me now, and I now go for it, but it's identifying it. The real trick that I think going forward is going to be ongoing for the remainder of my boring days, pretty sure, is how to relate it to other people. Because once I've been able to find it for myself, then now I can relate it to others and I have better relationships. Because honestly, I didn't have good relationships most of my life, and I literally just stopped having them. I hung out with my mom and, you know, I had family come and visit, or I went and visited family two or three times a year. You know, I might visit with the neighbors in the yard. I rode my bicycle a lot, but I didn't want to even deal with people because I didn't understand it and it wasn't working for me. And I didn't know why. And that's where this counselor helped. That's where it helped me relate to people. And she did. And as a matter of fact, I woke up this morning thinking about her. And the show was actually going in a different direction until a friend said the word expectations reminded me online yesterday. And then I woke up thinking about Shirley St. Juiced. If anybody's in the Northeast Florida area, Orange Park, I think Jacksonville area, looking for somebody who really can help you. She and her if she's not available, any of her workers I'm sure can help. But don't be afraid to reach out for some help. And that's what the helping and thinking thing is. I've been the hardest one to convince to ask for help and to accept help, you know, and that's part of the self-love journey, because I'm better at it now. Still kind of hard, still feels kind of funny sometimes. Or don't ask a lot. I'm better. I really am. I can have never been in a better place in my life since about the time I was 4 years old. And the world was alive, you know, and I didn't matter whatever I was going to try to find out in the next 50 some years. I can't do math that fast, guys. Sorry. Was it 50? 56 years. Yeah. Yeah. Been quite a ride. So anyway, from on out, helping and thinking is what I'm going to do. I'm concentrating, spend more of the time on my personal business. I've had the volunteer pursuits the last couple of years that I certainly would never trade for in a billion years. And it really taught me a lot about these relationships I was just talking about, and my expectations. It's interesting that this one opportunity was to save this old house, and I happened upon it just by accident. I ran into somebody who answered a free giveaway for something made on Craigslist, and I was visiting with them at the moment I was handing it over to them when we met. And they said, oh, you might be interested in this, because I was new to town looking for something to do. And I went and met with these people, and sure, it was amazing. It was about a 2-year run, and we did it. We did it. Now they're still working on the running it part. We saved it to run it, and I'm not interested in the running part, but we saved it. And then I've been volunteering most of the time, and then also recently in lieu of Be Unique magazine, and I've just absolutely enjoyed it. I've met amazing people, and this is a point in time where any of my listeners, if you'd like to do something good for yourself, check out the other shows on Be Unique Radio, especially the Be Unique Unscripted. I'll tell you, every single week over the last, I think, 18 months or year or whatever it's been, I don't know, 9 months, I don't remember. But every single show has been visiting with people on the same journey that a lot of us are on to find out who they are, or they've discovered who they are, or they're trying to share their good news. You know, I'm not here trying to convince anybody of anything, and most of these people aren't either on that show, but they all have these amazing journeys that I was able to go along with them for an hour. I wouldn't trade that for $1 zillion at this point. $1 zillion wouldn't do me much good without the understanding of self-love, you know? I'd just be racing off the clip. What do they call it, love or money? Yeah, never been much of a wild party or wenching guy sort of thing. So I don't know what that would be. Zillions, man. I'd probably get a 72 Mustang with the big old Boss engine in it. I don't know. That would be pretty fun. I think they were orange or red. I like blue or green, my favorite colors. Well, anyway, so basically what I wanted to talk about today is this expectations, and I have, and I haven't sparked anyone's interest to talk about it with me, and I'm okay with that, because I just want to go ahead then in that case and talk just a little bit more about this loving someone from afar. It kind of came from the first earliest concept was that someone said it, I read it, it came to me at some point. People that are most unlovable are the people that are the least lovable are the ones that need the most love. And I believe that because unlovability, I believe, is simply just the presence of blockages, because love is just being, it's just existence. The natural state of being is just pure love. And anything that's not that is, I believe, I see it in kind of relation to my chakras. One of the first things I did when I started my awakening process is I had the ability to have the music, the appropriate frequency music at hand. I love my crystals. I study them. I use them. I can feel their energy when I hold them. My energy levels is definitely tied into those. And you know, it makes sense. It's not far fetched because our body is what it's made of. What, three things: water, rocks, and existence, the ether. So, you know, it makes sense that that we'd be in tune with the stones, the rocks. And I think it's interesting. I can't wait to get myself traveling here, because I'm going to go back out west and where I grew up and get into where all the rocks are. Because I've been in Florida for 30 years, and we don't have any rocks. Some sandstone is just hard sand, you know. So, but I mean, I think it's important. I didn't realize until just fairly recently, last few years, that's significant. I can't wait to get up around it, because I go into a crystal shop and I can feel it. So I can't, get up there to the Black Hills where I was born. Yeah, climbing up on them rocks. There's actually a natural spring on Iron Mountain Road that all my young life, you know, when I was 17, I left. But there was always just running the side of the road. Somebody stuck a pipe in the rock, and you could pull off there and fill your water cup to take, drink it, cold and tasty. So I want to go see if that's still running. Now, what's my expectation? I don't know. I don't know whether it's still running, whether somebody shut it off, whether it ran out, whether they just replaced the pipe. I don't know. But see, this is part. If you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. I'm thinking of it in terms of something to look forward to. I'm anxious. I'm anxious to go see. 50-50 chance it is or it isn't. If it isn't, okay, I have the memory and I've had a nice trip. The wild raspberries still grow up there. Might even go in June and see. But if it is, oh my goodness, pure, tasty water. I never would have thought water would be hard to come by nowadays, but in my world, you got to buy bottled water or you can't have it. I mean, you can have it, it's just not good. You know, I think we got to be working on things like, I know there are filtration systems that can be had, but, you know, they're expensive. And of course, expensive is always the first option for folks. So let's see here. I tell you, I'm pretty excited. I want to say this. I'm pretty excited about my future. I've completely changed my plan. I've said it time and again, and that, you know, only a good plan is a good plan, but a great plan is one that has change built in. You got to be willing to change the plan, because if not, because things come up. You know, you can plan and plan and plan, but you can't plan for everything. And the thing is, whatever you plan on is based on expectations. Other things change, so you got to do it. And what's interesting is my future with telling my message out and meeting people and finding out about other people's thoughts on this was tied to my volunteering experience. Well, now what's interesting is that while we all are on the same mission, my mission, my action has developed separate than what they're doing. And so I'm going to do it a little bit differently. I'm going to go completely on my own. My friend Mary, who introduced me to this business, introduced me to the concept of going ahead and leaping with faith and building your wings as you learn to fly. And it's a hard thing to really do, but it's true. It works. If you can get past the need for expectations and just go with the flow and learning how to control and doing it well, you know. And now it's the hard part is reversing all that and learning how to let go and not have control. But it's working. I'm getting there. Definitely so. The fun part is that it's literally, literally a blank slate. This kinds of stuff stacked up in buckets and on the shelf and in bags and things are laying around that I have in mind ingredients and tools to do this with. Just still figuring out how to do it. And that's why I kind of launched this particular discussion hour. Just gives me things to think about. And those four people that listened last, maybe they'll listen again this week. And maybe one of them will call next week. We'll find out what's on their mind. I will tell you this, that this radio show has been pretty much an effort for me to essentially get out, put out there and publish some thoughts on some things I've been thinking about. These are some of the principles that I am operating on going forward in my relationships and expectations with myself. Because remember, if you save yourself, it's when you save the world. So since I've learned that, saving the world is inevitable. It's an imminent. Inevitable. It's imminent. A lot of times I think faster than I talk. Sorry, guys. I just had a spontaneous need for that. And we're getting my heart chakra opened up a little bit more. Heck yeah. So Sundays, or Saturday night is what Spirit told me I should start this show. And they actually gave me specific times. And I chose Sunday. And I think it's because for quite a period of time, I will say identifiably at least the last 3 or 4 years, maybe probably more, Sunday mornings has been the quiet time. Because I've lived in the city where somebody mows the lawn every day of the week. There's always airplanes going, cars going, sirens, neighbors, dogs, you know, always something going on. Except for oftentimes Sunday mornings is the quiet time. And I'm in search of some peace, and I'm going to find it for sure. That's part of my travels that are coming up. So I'm going to locate my peaceful spot because it's not in the city anymore. That's for sure. And I know that Sunday mornings when it was peaceful was when I really thought of a lot of these things. Most of these conclusions I've developed for myself have come Sunday mornings in the stillness and the silence. So if you think about it and find yourself in a world where you don't have any silence, you might try to think of some way to get some and try it and see. It may not be your thing. I mean, there was a long period of my life I had to have the TV going or a song playing on the stereo or something going in my life. I thought maybe it was for company, you know, maybe. I don't know what it was. But the silence is pretty stealthy. I remember it. I had forgotten, I guess. And then I remembered that I had it a lot as a kid growing up. Lots of silence. Well, anyway, so I want to go ahead and I'm going to get started on some other things I want to do today. And I know it's a little bit early, but I think I've gotten what I wanted to say out. I'm hoping that I've at least some sort of interest in your own thinking to help you. Tell you we're on in Blog Talk Radio is on in 70 plus countries. I'm not sure 171, 72. It's growing leaps and bounds. And so I can't offer my personal business to anybody that's not fairly local as far as pulling weeds and planting flowers. But you're always welcome to call the show. You can reach out at helpingthinking@gmail.com or at yahoo.com. I have actually not decided how I'm setting it up for streamlining, probably Gmail. My decision process has not completed on that. But yeah, I'm going to ask you to, if you're listening to this, don't hesitate to go to Facebook, if you play Facebook, and follow Be Unique Radio. You can follow me, Gene Albertson. If you do Instagram, Be Unique Radio's on Instagram. I sort of am. I don't know much about it. I'm in the process of getting some help, and I've recently been in touch with someone who knows all about that stuff. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to jump into the whole social media thing. And any of you want to have any ideas, you know, please reach out. Let me know. I really hope everybody. Have a great day. Self-love. And I've got this fun exit that I play. I'm going to go ahead and play that. Those of you might know it, but from the Lawrence Welk Show when I was a kid. That was one of my favorite things, is staying up for the Lawrence Welk Show, man. Love the music and of course, the dancing. And it was all shiny. Of course, I have anything shiny. And so I just I wanted to use that for my show, and I'm going to go ahead and say goodbye to everyone for the moment. I'll hopefully see you next week. I'll be here. Thank you very much. And with that, then I'm going to say, see you later. see you then.